Hey,
we're the few.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Come to Foo Bar on December 17th for our 5th annual Christmas Bash and Food Drive to see us, along with Noesis, Forgetting January, The Failures, and our good friends from Minneapolis, Vaudeville.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and tickets are only $7.
Be sure to bring canned food or other non-perishable food items for donation to the St. Louis Area Food Bank so we can help those less fortunate have a better holiday season.
All tickets purchased in advance will be entered to win 4 tickets to see Star Wars Rogue One on us.
The winner will be announced at the end of the night.
Also, if you haven't picked up our new record, Sleep Tight When You Wake Up Will Be Gone, grab your physical copy from us on the 17th or download digitally anytime.
Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, quick reminder, if anybody hasn't checked it out, I put together this playlist on Spotify called the Rock Paper Podcast Favorites. All kinds of local music and guests from the show. About 2 or 3 songs from everybody I could find on there. So head over to Spotify, check it out, find some new great music. Also, want to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight. Check them out over on the hill, gaslightstl.com, and go over there and book yourself a recording session. It's a beautiful studio here in town, attached to a bar. It's a really unique experience. You can come in, you can record, or you can listen to one of your favorite bands recording their record, and just have a lot of fun over there. So again, GaslightSTL.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and get involved. Check out their full listing of upcoming events on the website. Also want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there on Washington Avenue, right next to KDHX, brand new location. They got a lot of great stuff going on. Check it out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, musicrecordshop.com. A lot of great live in-stores on the weekends. On Fridays, all new music happy hour, all new records in-store. And they got a great local selection. You can get in there, check that out. And if you want your own records on the shelf, hit them up about that, see how you make that happen. And then check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, what's up? This is Phil Manalis, better known as Spanky. I'm from Barley Alive, Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players, Mom's Kitchen, and the Provels. You can also find me as Spanky Entertainment Dueling Pianos in the live juke joint Dueling Piano Bar in Maplewood. Check out Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Tonight, when it's you and
Hey everybody, Shane Pressler here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out tonight with Phil Manowis of Mom's Kitchen and the Prevels and the Live Juke Joint, you know, all kinds of stuff. You're a busy man.
Yes, everybody tells me I'm the busiest person they know. People ask me if I sleep, and I tell them a little bit, but yeah. I'm that guy, everybody says, you're the busiest person I know.
I totally relate, man. I've been working two jobs forever, but I work two jobs. I work doing this show, and then I try to be at like almost every concert I can be. And
that's true. Yeah, you're out supporting the scene, pushing the scene, and then part of the scene. You know what I mean? That's true.
So it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's part of the part of the fun of it is just that hustle and like
absolutely.
You know, so. But yeah, man, I start a lot of these this way, and we kind of been talking a little bit off mic about it, but I was saying how, like, you know, we've kind of known each other a little bit now recently, through, you know, you playing a lot at Oyster Bar and things, and I see you around a lot, and we get to talking a little bit, but it's kind of hard to have a nice conversation at the bar with, you know, the music and you guys usually playing everything else, and, but these are always a good opportunity for me to get to hang out with you guys and, get to talk and get to know a little more about what you're up to.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate you taking a minute to hang out and talk. So,
oh, for sure. Glad to have you.
Yeah, man. So I guess let's start. So you are a owner and operator of a
Juke Joint? I have a business partner, Drew Grafey. And him and I are the owners of the Live Juke Joint in Maplewood. Dueling Piano Bar, we've been open a little over a year. We opened a year ago, Thanksgiving Eve.
All right.
So, and yeah, just kind of chugging along, and you know, we do different stuff. We have a TV show that films on Thursday nights there.
Yeah, Pascal.
Late Night with Pascal. We have a lot of different events throughout the weeks and stuff like that. We have comedy shows some nights. I think we have one coming up on next Wednesday, maybe. Just stuff like that. So it's always something, you know, always something kind of different going on, and you know, just getting people to have a good time. So
yeah, you were saying. You guys have, like, kids shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah, Sundays. Yeah, that was today. We had, we get a lot of birthday parties that come in. We've struck gold with the birthday parties because you can't beat the price that we charge and whatnot, especially, I mean, it's really weird. We kind of did a lot of research on places. It's basically about $6 to bring your kid in, and we feed the kid for that $6 as well.
Hmm.
So, and then the goal is when the parents are sitting around, we have a big space between the tables and stuff for the kids to run around and dance up in front of the stage. And so we'll have them do the whip and nay-nay sometimes. And the kids request that. You know, they'll want to request that, so we'll play that. You know, they request Let It Go, you know, from Frozen and stuff like that. And we'll get them even to do Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes or just, like, fun stuff. They like doing the Hokey Pokey. The kids they don't hate the Hokey Pokey yet. They're not jaded, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll get them doing stuff like that. And the parents are just sitting back and watching, and it's kind of... So it's a fun thing. It's kind of... We have face painter sometimes. Some Sundays we have balloon maker. This guy, actually, we have him on the weekends sometimes too, because he makes the coolest stuff and people love it. It's just it's funny how he makes these things and the people are wearing his hats, you know, or backpacks, or you just see the crazy stuff. You're like, what is that? You know?
Right.
So yeah, just trying to always give a good experience. I've been doing dueling pianos 20 years. June was 20 years I've been doing in dueling pianos since I was in college, and so it's just not just the show; it's just an overall experience. You know what I mean? So we try to give people that.
Yeah, so that's over there in Maplewood. If you want to come hang out and come visit, and a good opportunity to come out and see Phil would be January 7th. And this is you're kind of mashing all your worlds together.
Yes, we're going to have Mom's Kitchen, Widespread Panic tribute band that I play in. Then we're going to have the Provels, who... almost everybody lives in Maplewood, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to the Dueling Piano Show. So it's my birthday, Spanky's big birthday bash, and it's the week after New Year's. It's not that time of year that anybody ever has anything going on and whatnot, and people... I'm trying to find a reason for people to come out and have a good time and see all the different bands, and I'll basically be on stage most of the night, except... Well, the Dueling Pianos, I'll start up there, but there'll be three of us, so we'll rotate and everything, but... I get a kick out of watching. I have like these different worlds. I have like this dueling piano world where it's very corporate in some ways. I mean, the gigs I did this weekend were corporate holiday parties. For one was for agricultural, and one was for a bank. And it was just we play 3 hours typically straight through, and it's all. People ask for Brown Eyed Girl and American Pie and Piano Man, Paradise by the Dashboard Lights and Friends in Low Places and Wagon Wheel. I make money from playing Wagon Wheel, you know what I mean? And then I do that, and then, you know, I don't wear jeans, and it's all, you know, how you doing and all that kind of world. And then last night's a perfect example. I did the gig from until 10 o'clock, the corporate holiday party. I drove my gear back to my house, dropped it off, changed clothes, put on, you know, my rock clothes or whatever, and then Ubered down to the Rock House and play with Mom's Kitchen and hit the stage at 1 a.m. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, and all my musician buddies are all down there, and friends and people like you, and everybody's all hanging out down there, you know? Yeah. So I want to meld all that together and have everybody kind of see what I'm doing, you know? So definitely. Plus the Provels and Mom's Kitchen, those are two totally different bands in a lot of ways, you know? And, I want people to see that, you know, and I play in Mom's Kitchen a lot of everything, not just piano, organ, or clav. It's all of that, you know, and a lot of songs switching between the instruments. And Provels is mostly organ, starting to put a little more Rhodes and things like that. But again, it's just a different vibe, a different feel. And then when we play dueling pianos, it's just piano, you know what I mean? But it's not if somebody doesn't know about dueling pianos, you know, people ask for Enter Sandman. We'll get that request. Yeah. And they're trying to be funny in a way, you know, they think you can't play it on the piano. But then we play that, you know, because you know we can play Don't Stop Believing and those songs. It's when we play The Wobble, you know, and the girls want to dance to The Wobble. Or you get Cupid Shuffle that got requested last night. You get everybody dancing that. But again, on just two pianos, two microphones. I have tambourines up there. I like to use that to get people to clap or beat and stuff like that. But just piano, you know. And when, you know, Hot in Here got requested last night, Baby Got Back, I've made a living off of that song. So if you come that night, any night you come to the piano bar when I'm there, I will do that song. And that is seriously, like, when I first started doing this, the guy that was my boss pulled me aside. He's like, alright, listen, you got to do this song and blah, blah, blah. And we talked about it. And at first, when I first got into dueling pianos, I was like, no, I'm a piano player. You know, I thought I'm a musician and this, that, and the other. I didn't realize I was an entertainer in the beginning. You know, and I was like, you know, you got to entertain. You can't just play songs. And so I stand up and I do all this stuff when I'm, you know, when I'm doing that song. And it's great. It still works all this year. People pull out their phone and, you know, their video and pictures and stuff like that. But that's a whole nother different world from all these bands I'm playing in. You know, I'm also in Barley Alive. It's a classic rock band. We play it usually at Helen Fitzgerald's once a month. And then Sean Cann's Voodoo Players, you know. And you know, you're there all the time. It's a different theme. You know, you go from Fish to Paul Simon to Talking Heads. Yeah. And then what we got coming up, there's Led Zeppelin Night.
Funk and Soul.
Funk and Soul. You know, I mean, there's just all these different ones. You've had Bob Dylan, you know, they've had Dead, you know, different Deads. They just had Bob Weir. So it's fun. It's always, always something different going on, you know. And I've taken a lot more pride in the last few years getting back into the band scene, as I feel like I'm more of a well-rounded musician. You know what I mean? Because I can go and I can entertain by myself. I can entertain in dueling pianos. I could play in a trio. I can play in a band. I'm comfortable in all that, because it's not, you're like, when, especially in any ensemble, it's, we're putting a puzzle together, and I have my pieces that have to fit, just like you have to have your pieces for it to come out right. You know what I mean? And not every band gets it, you know, not every ensemble ever gets it right all the time. So, but that's how I look at it. It's like, oh, I got to do my part and try to be ready and stuff, so we can all put that puzzle together and show everybody, and everybody goes, yeah, you know, gets excited. I don't know, kind of stupid.
Yeah. So you mentioned a bunch of those songs. Is it as bad as I would think, like where you just kind of get the same couple of...
No, yeah, absolutely. It's not as bad in the sense that, so this is how I look at it. Like, it's definitely the same, I'd say about 200 songs. It's, like I said, American Pie, Brown Eyed Girl, Don't Stop Believing, Piano Man. But you gotta understand it. This is what people... I've been doing this 20 years, and it hasn't changed a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? People... These are classics for a reason. Sure. You know? It's like... I love the Wagon Wheel discussion with, you know, with my musician buddies and stuff like that. I get it, but...
I'm not sure why that... Like, that's like the punchline now. Like, that's...
It,
like,
is. Yeah. It's the new Mustang Sally. Yeah. It was... For, you know, forever it was just Mustang Sally that everybody, you know, hated. But that song gets requested at the gig all the time, too. People love that song. People want to dance to it. They don't... But again, that's the thing is, if you're a musician or you're into music, you have a different perception than somebody that's... It's a great example is we have tambourines on the piano when we're doing pianos, okay? And if my partner is leading the song, I might be, you know, banging it on the piano for a beat and stuff like that. Well, the people dancing at a wedding or whatnot, they're not around a tambourine ever. You know what I mean? At their job, there's not a tambourine. So seeing it when they're out for the night, they want my tambourine. They want to shake it. Yeah. You know, the girls always come over, can I play it? You're like, sure. And it's funny. It's like, it's a tool that's in my world all the time. I got to make sure I have my tambourine with my gear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to somebody outside, like, they don't, that's something neat. Like, oh, I want to do that. So it's just neat, the perception.
Right.
I mean, how many times do people look on their phone before they make a request? I see it all the time. They come up to the piano and they're holding their phone trying to look up the song.
Yeah.
And that amazes me. You don't know who your favorite artist is,
yeah,
or
sure,
your favorite song, or you just can't think of something out of your head, down your arm, and write down a request.
Yeah.
But people can't. It's nuts. You know, it's almost like, because you listen to, you're not putting on the record anymore. You're not popping in the CD. You know what I mean? You don't, I don't know how people were. With CDs, I like to open it up and read the whole thing at front to back.
Yeah,
you know, man. Who they thank, just where they were. I like all that stuff. You don't do that now. Spotify sends somebody sends me a track. You put it on, you listen. You may not even look who it is half the time and stuff.
Sure.
You know, so all of a sudden I see why people there's not that attachment as much to, you know. Because I like to ask people, I teach piano lessons, and so I ask my students, you know, well, what are you listening to right now? Who's your favorite singer? Who's your favorite artist? Whatever. Well, I don't really know. And that just sort of baffles me.
Sure.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, but yeah, as a fan of music, I don't understand how people, like, don't connect to it like I do. Like, and that's a lot of why I try to do the show and all my, you know, pushing as much music as I do, I want people to feel what I feel when I go to these shows and stuff, because it's
sure,
amazing. But yeah, some people just don't have it. Like, they just, music doesn't speak to them like that.
No, you're right. It's amazing. It's just like, I guess, like, I'm a big sports fan. So when somebody, I have a couple buddies that, you know, I just don't like sports.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
right,
that may, especially if you, or somebody says, well, I don't care about the Cardinals. I go, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a huge Cardinal fan. So I can't even imagine that in my world. It's the same thing with music.
Sure.
You're like, how does that not move you? How does that not touch you? You know, some people, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's cool. See, I like you put that out there, like you're saying. People don't put themselves in a box. It's like, man, there is so much to see. And even, especially in St. Louis, there is so much to see that you just don't know about it. You got to get out there. And a lot of these shows are free or super cheap.
Sure.
You know, just, you got to go out there and see it. And you're like, oh. And there's nothing like seeing it live.
Definitely.
You know, you get a better feel for it, a vibe. They express themselves better live than on record, so to speak, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. What's one of my other favorite things you do with the dueling pianos is, you take pictures of people's requests and stuff, like, Elliot, the song title's wrong or whatever.
Yes. Whatever. Well, I mean, every week you see Piano Man by Elton John at least once a week, and it's just like, I mean, that's really been happening as long as I've been doing this. And so I'm sort of not amazed, but I still am amazed. I'm like, how do you know that's not Billy Joel?
Right.
But people don't. They go, that's the piano guys. They're one and the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love people. Well, you get the misspellings. You get things so close, you know, stuff like that. It's just, I love documenting that, because you almost don't believe me. I'm like, no, look, this is what somebody wrote down. I can't believe it, you know. And then I love when I do get Wagon Wheel with $10 attached to it. I'm like, oh, I got to take a picture of that.
Yeah.
Show everybody how I'm paying my bills this week. You know what I mean? It's just...
My friend Nick Vaderot's a comedian, and he kind of makes some jokes about the similar topic with people not knowing names and things, and how he's like... It was like the Journey song, and he's like, "Yeah, he why don't you play Can't Stop Believin'?" And he's like, "Can't Stop Believin'." He's like, "That's just about a guy that's gullible, you know, like
changes the context of it." Yeah, that's funny.
And then he says, "He's like, oh, what's that other one? Bear Rug for Kevin, right?" He's like, "What Bear Rug for Kevin? I don't know that one." He's like, "And she's buying a bear rug for Kevin."
Oh, no way.
Like, so it cracks me up, but
it's accurate though.
Yeah, right.
It's like Rocket Man. That's always a misheard one. People don't know what that is. What else do you get? You get just different ones. I don't know. I'm almost not surprised anymore.
Right.
It's just like, it just continues on. You go, okay, sure. And that's what we're here for in a way. You go, well, we'll just kind of guide you this way. You know, it's like, you're close. I know what you're going for, though. You know,
yeah.
Well, it's amazing how many times you get the song with just the wrong artist, you know? And I, when I did that, was that last year? I think it was at the bar, and I said, what did I do? I said, I said, Paint It Black. I said, my favorite Door song, and I launched into it, and the guys started laughing. I was like, what's wrong? I go, that's why it's not the Doors, you know? They're like, ooh, look at you getting that wrong. But it just came out, you know? I was like, yeah, my favorite Door song. I'm like, oh, now we're close. So it happens to all of us, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, people, you know, well, then the dueling pianos, people will come for their birthdays, bachelorettes. We get them up on stage and roast them, you know. I have people, you know, you make them do Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes, or make them I'm a Little Teapot dance. And what's fun is to watch adults doing silly stuff like that. That's the neat part of it, you know. Or there's all kinds of bits. We'll have a girl sit on the piano and sing some little bit inappropriate song, you know, all in good fun, you know, that kind of stuff. And but you feel it out. You always get the audience on your side, because everything's run by the audience with requests. So you get them on their side and say, should we do a clean song for Susie on her birthday? And people, no, let her have it. You know, should we do something a little risque? And they go, yeah! You know, and go, all right, you know, this isn't me. This is the audience asking for it. And it's just figuring out. It's dueling pianos is where I'm more of an entertainer than a musician. That's, I think, why I like getting back into the bands. The Provels, I mean, I love that. I love playing with those guys. You know what I mean? We lock into so many different things, and we're always watching and feeling and listening for each other to see where it might go and where we can collectively go. You know what I mean? Things like that. Mm-hmm. We don't play a lot of gigs. We don't want to. We just decided we're not going to play just to play. You know what I mean? Just to take a, just because there's a Wednesday night at such and such place, we're not going to take it just because it's available. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I just saw you guys. The pre-Philippalooza jam at Oyster Bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was just a killer set, man. You guys sounded so good.
Thank you. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
We were up there. I told Jim, I said, let's just keep playing. I said, it's like 2:06. I think we're supposed to stop. I go, let's just keep playing. Right. I was like, let's play until they tell us to stop. Because it was, it was fun.
Yeah.
Felt like we were slaying it up there. Yeah, just getting crazy.
You get Sean Cannon jumps up there and plays. And, and Phil played some harmonica with you and stuff. It was just a...
Crazy.
Yeah, great energy in the room, and just like I said, having those guys having some special guests for the sets and stuff, it just was a lot of fun to watch.
It added a lot to it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was cool having, and Sean loves the Provels. Like, you know, that's why when he decided to do Voodoo Fish, he, you know, came to talk to the Provels. I'm like, yes, have the Provels band do it. You know, now I think we're up to 65 Fish tunes that we've done. You know, it's just nuts. So, and then when it was Talking Heads time, he's like, well, how about the Provels again? We add some, you know, we got more people on it as well. But it's fun. We're a good collective unit. We're back in the we were just in the studio in September. We're going in a week from tomorrow, middle of December, for to mix down 4 tunes that we just laid down. And so in our first album, we had 1 vocal track and 9 instrumental tracks. And that's not really who we are. It's just kind of how things have started and whatnot. And now, so the first 4 songs, only 1's an instrumental track and 3 of them are vocals.
Okay.
So we're we got some hot stuff. We had Funky Butt come play some horns on the instrumental track, and it's crazy. I can't wait till we get it mixed down, because it sounds great the way it is already, but like it just needs a few tweaks on some things like that. And so we're gonna have, I don't know if we're gonna release an EP. I think we're talking about releasing an EP. I don't know if we've decided or not, but I've got a couple. So I haven't given any songs to the Provels yet that I've written, and I'm about to release a couple with them so that we can start working on and see how we like. JT just sent us another track, so we've got some things in the works already, some more songs that we'll get ready. Well, we like to get them out. We want to play them out and get that feel for them and see how they change and just all that kind of stuff before we get to the studio. Almost like where it's second nature when you get in the studio. You're like, we've been killing this already, so let's just get in here and slay it now, you know, and be done.
Whose idea was it to start doing that So Fresh, So Clean?
It's say Jim or JT. Probably Jim, I would say. Because when we first started playing, we didn't have, you know, a huge song list or whatever. Just because I knew, you know, dueling piano stuff, and everybody knows, you know, we all knew different stuff. So we were trying to figure out also what the right thing for the band was. And we play at Stone Spiral, the coffee shop in Maplewood, where our bass player Bill works. So we would play there a bunch. And that was good to get the band playing live and have some friends come down and check us out. But we were playing a lot of hip-hop tunes. Well, you know how many, all these hip-hop tunes are old, you know, classics, you know, they're remixed or whatever. So we're doing, Big Papa and all these things. So we were playing all these instruments and we were making them instrumental. And so that's just, I don't know if that's where it came out of there or not, but it just, kind of, and that's just definitely every time we play it. It's not just us, it's the groove first, you know what I mean? Everybody loves that line, and then, you know, the drums come, and the line, and then after that, we try to put our own little thing on it, so, but yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good, but it's like, for me, I don't know, I've always kind of lended more towards vocalist and you know, and lyrics and things, a lot of music. Uh-huh. I mean, I know some guys are, you know, strictly stick to melodies and stuff like that, but I've always been a singer-songwriter fan and stuff, so I listen to a lot of lyrics, but definitely with you guys playing it, like, I'm not missing that. You know, it's like, even though it's just doing an instrumental, and it still sounds great, like, so it's not like you guys are, you know, like I said, you just kill it, and it's like, it's not like I'm missing, like, hearing some, you know, verse over it and stuff.
Right, so. You're not missing, I hear you. Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do. We want to move people with our music, you know what I mean? And if you can do that first, because my philosophy, at least for sure, is girls want to dance, you know what I mean? They like to dance and have a good time. So you got to have music that can get them doing that, you know what I mean? Because girls are dancing, guys want to buy them drinks, they get thirsty, you know what I mean? Just the whole cycle of things, you know? So we try to make stuff like that. It was kind of fun, actually, when we had Sean and Phil join us. We have a lot of songs that are kind of tricky. They're not your basic 1-4-5. We're not complicated. We're not Yes or Fish, or, I mean, we're not, you know, on that level by any means. But, like, one of our new songs, you know, a good portion of it is in 6-4 time, and all these different time signatures and whatnot, but people can still dance to them. That's what's cool about it, you know? You almost don't know why you can, because it still feels right, even though it's not in 4-4 and things like that, you know? So, but yeah, there was a few songs where, like, oh, yeah, no, we don't want to throw it at those guys. That'll confuse everybody. Don't do that one, too. So that was kind of a proud moment, be like, yeah, we got some cool, kind of not, you know, kind of tough songs, you know, that you can't just pick up and play. That's what was cool about it, you know, so.
Yeah. So the first record currently available online and Spotify and all kinds of stuff, so get a hold of a copy of that if you haven't done so already.
Pro Bells.
Keep an eye out.
And if you're not from St. Louis, that's a cheese, all right? Yeah. It's a cheese that was invented in St. Louis. It's a blend.
Right.
I mean, it's funny. You get anybody from outside of St. Louis, they go, oh, cool. You know what I mean? They think it's a name.
Yeah, no, I do think I appreciate that kind of tie in to St. Louis culture. Honestly.
Right,
I
mean, it's not like it's not in your face, but it's just it's a tiny tie in. I think it's cool.
And then you guys, you got a Slow Cheddar now, right?
Right, I was gonna say we got Slow Cheddar. We got you know, by the Provels. I don't know why that's hilarious to us, but we think it's funny.
Got another cheese reference,
right? Yeah. We kept saying we're not gonna have too much cheese references, you know. And then that was just one of those songs. I think it either came out of a gig. I think it came out of a gig, and it was a jam. It was just one of those things. It was like, oh, here we go, and it just kind of evolved from there. And we always, like, there was what song on the first album, on the Provel's first album? I'm trying to think which one it was. Was it not Valdez Blues? Oh, I can't think of which song it was, but it for the longest time, the working title was Spanky's Got a Mixtape. That was just the working title of the song, you know, before we had lyrics and all that. And so it's just funny how some of these Slow Cheddar, I think, was the original title, and it's just stuck, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fun. you're also with Mom's Kitchen, which I'm obviously I know the name, but I'm not as familiar with
Are you a Panic fan? Are you not familiar with Panic? Widespread Panic?
No, I mean, obviously I know the name there too, but I don't know a whole lot about Widespread Panic either. Okay. So I
liked Panic when, and I've been in the band this year, basically. I joined this year. JR just mentioned to me at the end of last year, he's like, oh, our keyboard player's leaving, looking for somebody. They weren't even asking me. They knew I was busy and stuff. And I was like, well, what about me? kind of throw that out there. Because I did always like, well, I like Widespread Panic, and I'll send you some stuff even just for you to listen to. Some check out this and check out this. Well, the key parts, JoJo plays a integral part of that sound. A lot of piano, a lot of organ, clav, Rhodes, all those things. And so I was like, cool, it's neat to be a part of a band that you are important, you know what I mean? It's not just guitar heavy and you add a few things here. A lot of it is, you know, I have a lot of songs, I got these notes that, you know, says, hey, you started out, you know, things like that. So it's I like that part of it. And then So as the years gone by, and I've talked, you know, the band travels a lot and stuff like that when we're playing, and so been finding out more the history of Widespread Panic and whatnot. And so somebody describes who said that? What is it? Josh Limpert that even came up with that? He does our sound for us. They're like the heavy metal of jam bands.
Okay.
How it was put to me, I was like, okay, that's pretty accurate. You know what I mean? Because they do. They get pretty. I mean, it's rock and roll, but it gets pretty heavy and stuff. And you know, they jam out. So, And I went to another Panic show this year, which was fun after playing that music a lot and watching people who like Panic songs, Panic music, come to Mom's Kitchen shows and enjoy that experience through us and with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was neat to go to the concert and like, oh man, people really love this music and they're really into it and they know every word. And honestly, the guys in Mom's Kitchen, they love Panic. I mean, they're huge fans. They're definitely not fake. You know,
right.
I know Timmy and JR and a lot of those guys have been to, I don't know, 75, 100 Panic shows, you know, I mean, they're true fans, sure. You know, so that's neat because I get these little stories and snippets about the band, you know, and maybe a new song we're learning that we're going to do, or I'm learning that they already do, and they'll be like, oh yeah, they did this at this, or they've only played it, oh yeah, there's some, I can't remember what song we just played, and they're like, oh yeah, they've only done it 3 times in the last 20 years, I'm like, oh, well, why are we doing it, you know, but I like hearing stuff like that, it's kind of interesting when, you know, some Fish song we did too that recently came up like that. Oh, they hardly even play it too, you know. And I really didn't know much about Fish until I started doing the Voodoo Players. And between Jim and Sean, they've been to a couple hundred shows, I guess. And so just getting all the little intricacies and all the little things that you don't know about, you know, it's been fun to learn about that.
Yeah, I've been with the Voodoo stuff. I've been learning a lot more. Like I know obviously a lot of the Tom Petty and, you know, Neil Young and those nights that have been doing a lot of the classic rock things. But like you're saying with Fish, though, it's like, I know a little bit. I knew, like, Farmhouse and stuff. You know, I knew a couple of the ones that were, like, kind of more, I guess, radio.
Mainstream, I would call it. Yeah.
And, but I wasn't, like, as familiar with a lot of their catalog. But hearing those guys play, it makes me appreciate it more. I think because I am hearing it live, and I also love those guys, so like pretty much they play anything I enjoy. But yeah, again, I'm right there with you. I'm like learning more through hearing these guys, you know, talk about it and playing and stuff. And
well, and somebody could say, well, why do you care? Well, that's dumb, but it's not. It's how these legacies and history and these things are carried on, you know? I love when, so like I said, I teach a lot of piano, so a lot of them are kids, and I love when, or I'll use my son as an example, he's 14, and, you know, I should say hi to Tony and Megan right now, because I bet they will listen to this, so they will be happy they got their names mentioned. And, you know, this was, I think, last year, Tony 13, and I said, what do you listen to? He has headphones on, he's like, Back in Black, you know? I'm like, yes! I walked away going, you know, feeling so proud and excited, you know, like, exactly, I'm doing something right if he's listening to that, you know. But that's my point, is like you want that stuff to keep carrying on and keeps getting spread and passed along. Like I did a gig for junior high kids, you know, and they're 13, 14 years old, I guess, yeah, same age. And they requested American Pie, and when we played it, they were all singing the words. And in my mind, I'm like, how did these kids in this day and age know a 40-year-old song? You know, but their parents probably listened to it, or you know what I mean, stuff like that. So, again, you gotta carry all that on, and knowing little stories, maybe. Well, to us, it's always interesting, but maybe to the person who's on the fence about, I kind of like music, maybe you tell them this story about, you know, behind this song or whatever, and that captures them. They go,
yeah.
Well, man, I want to check that out now. I want to hear it out, you know, or it gives me a different meaning, you know, now that I know what it's about or whatever. So, but it's important to, you got to have those conversations and be like, you know, and even in the Provels and all of us, we all rehash the same stories all the time because it's great memories, you know, it's awesome to be like, yeah, remember when, and you know, or that kind of stuff. That's fun, you know.
Definitely, man.
Carries music along.
Yeah. So again, January 7th, you can catch both Provels
and Mom's Kitchen. Dueling Pianos, everything. It's a live juke joint. Yeah.
Yeah, get out there and come over and hang out and dance the night away.
Absolutely. It's going to be quite the party.
So we mentioned Voodoo Players, Sean Cannon and Voodoo Players, every Wednesday night at Broadway Oyster Bar.
Absolutely.
But you will be sitting in again with on December 14th for Paul Simon night.
Paul Simon, yeah. That's a fun night. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We did, was it Was that for this? I guess that was for the anniversary, the second anniversary, because he's doing the third anniversary, Little Feet.
Right.
They just got announced, so. But yeah, that's Paul Simon's fun. It's a lot of different music, too, you know what I mean? And there's a huge band. I get to play a lot of different sounds and stuff like that. There's an accordion on one of the songs, and so it's neat to pull these different patches, and I don't know, I just love trying to come up with that, and it's that's why it's fun. It's like, how can we take these songs and make them sound, even if we're gonna make them sound different, make them sound cool, you know what I mean, that you're just like, oh neat, that's cool what they did, you know. So, well, I mean, you know, how many times we gotta find always one song to go into like the bluegrass style, you know, of that song, you know, but people love that, you know. All of a sudden, how can you not get hyped up when you're just like, when, you know, you get that kind of feel and beat going. So,
sure.
Yeah, Paul Simon coming up.
What are you saying? You played how many songs with Sean now?
I've done 23 voodoo shows, 23 different themes, you know, from, like I said, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Stones, Fish, Talking Heads, 580 songs. I've kept the list. I went back and looked. Yeah, 580 different songs I've performed with Sean and the variety of cast members at that show, and that's cool, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's incredible, man.
Well, it's my dueling gig now. I probably knew five, six, seven Tom Petty songs, and now something comes up and I go, I've played this one, I haven't sang it, but I could sing it, you know, for your request. So it's neat to go, no, I could probably do 20, 25. That actually, I forgot that came up, that almost bit me in the behind one night. Somebody asked for Talking Head song. I was like, oh yeah, no problem, I know like 25 Talking Head songs. Probably was talking a little too braggy or something. And so I played, I think it was Burning Down the House or something simple the first, you know. And then they're like, what did they ask for? This Is the Place, Home, yeah. And so I was like oh man, here opened my big mouth. I went back in the back and listened to it for a minute because I'd never sang it before. I was like, yeah, I can do it. And that gig, that just thrills the person. They're like, oh, that's awesome that you play that, you know. So, but yeah, it's amazing how it's expanded, because for dueling pianos, especially in the beginning, you're learning songs. I mean, in the beginning, I only knew so many songs, and so you're just constantly learning and listening, I guess is my point. You're constantly listening, and I'm picking out parts. You know, when I'm just playing on a piano, how do I make a Lady Gaga song sound cool or full or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, last night I got a request for Lady Gaga, I did Poker Face, you know. So, you know, I make jokes to the audience about, oh, you know what, I spent 12 hours in my basement learning this song, so, you know, I need a little clapping or something, you know what I mean, a little appreciation. But that's true, I do. I sit down here and, you know, I sit in the basement and I work on songs and learning stuff and trying to figure out, you know, how to make them sound full, sound cool, things like that. Sure. But it expands. You hear all these different ideas. You hear so much music, you go, oh. And then you hear a lot of patterns. I mean, there's so many songs that are 1, 5, 6, 4 and all, you know, the same chord progressions all the time. And after you listen to enough songs, you just can automatically hear that. And then I start doing the band stuff where it's a different type of listening, you know. Now I'm trying to pick out parts, you know, more than maybe the dueling show sometimes, because sometimes you're just playing chords, you know what I mean, singing songs. But, you know, you get the voodoo thing and you start picking out, yeah, different sounds, a lot more rhythms, you know, time signature changes and stuff like that. But ultimately, it should make you a better musician.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love that part of it. It's like, I'm 41 years old, almost 42. I've been playing piano since I was 5 years old. And, like, I'm still learning. I'm always going to keep learning. You know what I mean? That's why I like going down there and seeing my friends' bands and stuff like that, because you can always pick something up and, you know, and hopefully apply it to what you're doing.
Definitely, man. Well, you care to tell us some more of that backstory stuff, some history, getting where all this got started for you? Like,
yeah, like what?
I mean, just, so you start playing piano?
Oh, yeah. So I started playing piano when I was 5. If I go all the way to the beginning, I grew up in Webster Groves till I was 8, and then I went to Pacific High School. I lived out there in Franklin County. But when I was born, we lived next door to a pastor, and his wife was a piano teacher. And so this lady gave my parents, I learned by Suzuki method is what it's called, and they gave my parents this tape to play at night when I, so literally when I basically came home, from the hospital not for long after, my dad played this tape that just, he got it to run continuously throughout the night. And so every night when I went to sleep. And for the first 5 years, I listened to this same tape every single night. And then when I was five, I went next door and started taking piano lessons. And it's all, it's, you know, nothing by music. So in the beginning, it's like long, long ago, stuff like that. But she plays it, and then she says, okay, now you play it. And it sounds weird, but then you sit there and you can play it. Now you've been listening part of it for so long and just watching. And so for the first 3 years, I did that. When we moved, and then when I was eight, we moved out to Franklin County, and I started taking piano lessons from, you know, like in a strip mall at a store. But they started me on reading music and all that. So it was cool because I got both ends. I got the ear part, right. And then I got to learn read music. So, and as we sit here doing the podcast, if you look over here, I have a bookshelf of like music. Like I sight read really well. Somebody could give it to me, and a lot of times I could play it first time through, even difficult pieces. I just, reading music is easier to me than reading a book. You know what I mean? Like it just, it's all, it makes sense to me when I look at the notes and the dynamics and everything. It just makes so much sense to me. It's crazy. And it's fun because I teach piano lessons. I'm always experiencing that. You know what I mean? I'm always going through the basics and reiterating those things to them, but it's reiterating to me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a reminder and stuff. So, and then my dad was, man, my mom plays the radio, as she says. That's her instrument. Yeah. But my dad played drums and guitar and piano and all this stuff. And, he was super supportive, and both my parents were. My mom always talks about, so my little brother, we had a band, and my mom talks about cooking dinner on the stove and pots and pans rattling because we were rocking so hard. Because my dad got us good gear. Honestly, he didn't have a lot when he was growing up, so he spoiled us, and we had good gear and all this different stuff, and we'd crank it up because we're kids, you know. And when I was started playing in bars, I think I played my first bar when I was 12 years old. My dad had us in some bar in Granite City, Illinois, or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like seeing kids sometimes, you know, and if you're halfway decent, they enjoy it even more. But, yeah, I started from there, and I just, you know, I was in jazz band and marching band. I did all the music stuff, show choir, concert choir, I mean, everything through school and whatnot. Did some of it in college and then really got kind of burnt out in some ways. And so I stopped doing it in college, but I had a band and everything like that. That's when I actually moved to Florida in college and was doing, had a band and playing music and started playing in bars and kind of do more of the real scene that we do now.
Yeah.
That was kind of the beginning. And so, yeah, I've been 36 years, I've been playing piano, almost 37 years.
Wow.
And it's fun. I love it. It's, you know, I'll sit down and play classical music at home still just because I enjoy it, and it's, I don't know, it's fun. I don't know how to say it. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a good outlet. It's a nice to sit down and just play whatever and just kind of feel the keys. I don't know.
Sure.
You know?
Are your kids into it at all?
They took lessons. They're not taking lessons right now. I had them take lessons from somebody else for a few years. I thought that would be better, and I think it was. So they do have some ability, but they don't play too regularly, and I don't really push them. They're 14 and 11, so we'll see see if they get more interested. They seem to be more interested in music in general as they've gotten older, so that's kind of cool.
Right.
I mean, they think I'm a rock star. I love it. It's hilarious, you know. And so the Provels, we typically practice at my house, typically every Monday, but we practice at my house. So I love, and so my kids are homeschooled, by the way. So my kids are always here, you know what I mean? So when we have rehearsal at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, the band shows up, my kids are here, and they're around, they hear it, you know what I mean? So I like that part of it. That's kind of how, not exactly like that, but I used to go, my dad took me with him to his band rehearsals and, you know, all stuff right. like that, and so I like that they're getting at least a taste of it, and they're around
sure.
it, and you know, that, I don't know, to us, it's normal, it's a normal life. So, okay, I'll tell you another story, yeah, so, because those rehearsals, so is it the first song? I should know better. Yeah, the first song on the Provels album is called Cookie Mouth. And that came out of, so every time we have rehearsal, my kids bake cookies. Usually my daughter and wife make cookies and bring them down for the band. And we'd have a break and eat some cookies. And I always talk about having Cookie Mouth and stuff like that. And that's literally how that song got named.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, still to this day, every time we have rehearsal, the Provels have, no, actually, every time there's a rehearsal down here, because sometimes we'll do the voodoo rehearsal here, like the Fish and Talking Heads one, and they bring down cookies and we have cookies. It's just a running thing.
Yeah.
When you come
Sunday rehearsal here, you're going to have cookies.
Yeah, sounds pretty good to me.
I should have told him I have cookies for the podcast. That'd have been cool. But just little stuff like that. It's kind of neat to tie that stuff in.
Yeah, it is. Just going back to you mentioned, you know, Mom's Kitchen playing Filthalooza last night when we were recording this. I was there seeing Phil play when he invited his son Jack to play guitar.
I saw pictures. That's
and like it was just you could tell like
how proud Phil was.
You couldn't wipe the smile off his face. He was loving it but it was just really cool to see kind of that next generation watching Jack jump up and play guitar up there with him and singing and he led the absolutely. Yeah, he sang
He sang a song?
Yeah, he sang Maggie's Farm.
Oh, Maggie's Farm, yeah, nice.
And he sang in, and then he also sang Hoochie Coochie Man.
Oh, very cool.
And he had, so he led the band with, Brian Sachs, Carson Mann, Adam Huckey, Cody Henry, Derek Trammell.
They're all up there,
yeah,
huh?
I mean, Holiday.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, like, he has some serious players on that stage, and he sang Hoochie Coochie Man and stuff, and, it was a lot of fun, but yeah, it was just like I said again, like you know, just fun to see that the kids are taking interest into it, and he's also doing guitar. He's not, you know, he's not doing harmonica like Dad.
No, it's totally cool. It's probably better, you know. Yeah. It gives them, they almost complement each other that way and things like that. Sure. You know, no, it's awesome. I love stuff like that. Yeah, I know my daughter. She seems like a little performer. She's always jumping around. I feel like she wants to do some more, but we'll see how
I didn't catch this in kind of till like later. Like I always, you know, I've always been a fan. I, you know, remember listening to all my parents' classic records and stuff, all the rock records they grew up on, I remember some of my early requests for CDs, like Aerosmith Greatest Hits and a Pearl Jam Vitalogy and stuff. Those were all like some of the early CDs I remember, you know, buying I didn't really start going to a ton of live shows and really getting diving into this thing until like after high school and stuff. So like gotcha. You know, kind of it was always kind of a slow progression for me. But like after high school, I started going to a lot more live music, and that's when it just kind of got hooked. And like now it's like
now you can't get enough.
Yeah,
right.
Now now it's like every day. So,
but I guess when I was a kid, my dad was always playing with a band. I don't know, always, and you know, they did stuff. I remember they had like Battle of the Bands and Six Flags when I was in the 80s when I was a kid and stuff. And you know, I'd be running around, but you're just like around the scene, you know, it's just really normal. So I like that growing up in that and keeping it going like that. And
sure.
I guess my kids really went to their first real concert this year, and they went to who was it? It was Doobie Brothers and Journey.
All right.
So, and they loved it, they thought it was cool, you know, so it's like it just tickles me to death that's their first one. You know what I mean? It wasn't a newer group or something like that. And they thought it was cool. I mean, they love like Jesus Is Just All Right.
Yeah.
They love, you know, songs like that. And
Black Water, keep on rolling.
Love all that stuff.
What was your first show besides some of dad's things and stuff?
You know, I can't remember my very first show. It makes me mad. I can't, because I don't know if it's just because I've been to so many things. They took me to concerts all the time growing up, and so you know, I never grew up really as a Dead fan. I wasn't exposed to it. My parents really didn't listen to the Dead,
right.
So I didn't get that part of it. It was a lot of a lot of Beatles, Zeppelin, Rod Stewart, Foreigner, Journey, maybe that era. I guess a lot of stuff. Steve Miller Band. I remember that. That Greatest Hits album being just worn out. My dad playing that all the time. And a lot of 50s and 60s. My parents like, which is weird to think about what old, that was oldies when I was a kid, you know? In the 80s, you're growing up, that's
K-L-O-U.
Oldies. Right, KLOU. And now, this blew my mind. One of the piano players that works with us, he one night he says, hey, you know how many people like classic rock? And people, you know, cheer. And he launches into Sweet Child of Mine. And I was like, whoa. And I'm like, is he really though?
Right.
I mean, you know, if this is, even this was a few years ago, almost 20 years ago, that's a song. And when in the 80s, even still the 70s was classic rock already was being called that, you know? So I was like, man, he's not wrong. I was like, but that kind of hurts a little bit. I was 12 years old. That can't be classic rock, you know? But it does. It's all sort of moving that way, you know? And I feel like the 90s are finally about to they're, I don't know, they're so close to like taking over, it feels like, you know, but people still love the 80s a lot too, so
I don't know. I, yeah, 90s is for me, like I love listening to my 90s on 9 in my,
yes.
my satellite radio.
Yes.
And was there, I mean, it's just some obviously super cheesy pop tunes, but those, they're so much fun to sing along to in the car and stuff. And
but they weren't cheesy pop tunes when they came out. They were the today's hits. That's, I know, it's so crazy to look back. Well, I love when you get a request for like Tub Thumping or something by Chumbawamba, you know, and you're like, this is such a stupid song, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't help it. You know, it's
So you, I mean, obviously, keeping up to date and current on your. So do you get to listen to a lot of that stuff in the car then? Is that how you...
Yeah, I do. I'm in the car. I travel a lot for... Well, so when Mom's Kitchen, we travel a lot. We're going back to Steamboat Springs in January, actually. We'll do a three-night run at the same place. Oh, man. You got to go to this place. It's awesome.
Yeah.
When we were there in February this year...
That's Colorado?
Uh-huh. Yeah. In Old Town Pub. And we played Friday and Saturday there. It was Valentine's weekend. And so who took the stage the night after us? New Master Sounds. I was just like, oh, this place, you know, cool. So, but when I'm just traveling so much, I drove out to Colorado for a Dueling Piano gig actually last month. I just listen to a lot of music. I do a lot of my shedding, as you will, for what I need to learn in the car and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And then just always having to learn like the latest whatever possibly for my dueling gig.
Is there anything you like won't do, like you just like refuse, like on this?
No, well, so at my dueling, no, actually, so at my dueling piano gig, I don't know, maybe this makes me a bad person, but I'm pretty much for sale. But that's what that gig is.
Right.
You now at a wedding and things like that, I don't have people put tips with the request. That would discourage them. At a wedding, I don't do that. But when you come into my bar, I'm pretty much for sale for the most part. For the right price, you know, and that's how we explain it to people. Because there are, there's so much different stuff. I mean, there's like, how do I say? Yeah, there's just different bits, and, you know, that can be adult and whatnot. So you have to gauge, do I want to upset this room or do I want to keep it cool?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. But if somebody keeps, you know, we used to work at, when Harris Casino was around, there was a piano bar there that I booked and stuff. And it's casino, you'd have somebody come in from the floor that maybe just won a bunch of money, and next thing you know, he's $100 for this, and you're like, you got it, buddy. And play his song, you know, how about $100 for this, you know. Like, I remember one guy, just he every song for seven songs, because the last the seventh song he gave us $200, so he gave us $800 for seven songs.
Wow.
And we're like, wow, you know what I mean? So it's just crazy. You know, at that point, yeah, I'll pretty much do whatever. And so here's the best example now. Okay, I'm a huge Cardinal fan, season ticket holder. I bleed Cardinal red. Just grew up that way, right? So now the Cubs are the world champs. It's already started at some of my gigs. I'm getting requests for Go Cubs Go, the big Cubs song, you know. And so the first one came up at the bar, and I said, all right, you know, I don't throw my weight around too often. I said, but I'm in charge here. No one's going to tell me any different. I said, so you're going to have to give me more than $5 to play Go Cubs Go,
right.
You know? And so it was funny because another guy came up and he put down a dollar. I go, come on, man. Your team's the world champions and the dollar is all you can come up with more to add to it, you know? So, I mean, we've been getting requests for some of that, but I'm giving people a little bit of a hard time. I go, no, it's going to cost you a little more before I'm going to play that song or
especially
something like
town.
That, you know, especially in this town.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's just like I do solo gigs. Sometimes I'm going back to Amsterdam, actually, next year. I played, it's a solo piano bar I played in 2013. I went in there in September then. And then I'm going back in July. Well, it was cool. They hit me up this past September and said, hey, would you like to go back? And I was like, I like when they ask you. You know what I mean? And so I said, yeah, absolutely. He said, well, just send me the 2 weeks in 2017 that you want to come. I was like, awesome. I could pick it, you know? So I did a bunch of research to see when like it's busy because I want to go make money too. You know? But I'm going really high tourist season and whatnot. But it's a solo piano bar. And at that, I'm not going to play American. There's a few songs, American Pie, you know, maybe Piano Man, stuff like that. Part of the reason is you're going to get multiple requests for them. You're going to get 5 to 10 requests for Piano Man each night. So I don't want to burn through it, so to speak, too early. And not only that, I don't want to play it for $2. You know what I mean? Let's get to the $20 mark and then we'll play it. So there's a few songs that you do that when you're doing solo shows and stuff like that. A lot of it's just so I can control the flow of the show and stuff.
Right.
Amsterdam was fun because And I played St. Martin. I did a solo, the Red Piano Bar down there. That was a month-long gig. 6 days a week, one day off. It's a lot of work because it's just you. And, I mean, so people sit around the piano. I mean, they're sitting right at the piano with their drinks and having a good time. And yeah. It just gets, like, crazy. And you're the party, you know what I mean? Sure. So you got to, like, you're on. You got to keep it going. And people are buying you shots and drinks. And you're just like, yeah. And you're just like, I got to keep it together, you know? And just like, oh, it's just nuts. But, and it's... People, well, St. Martin especially, I was there in May, and so you have, it was, had a lot of college graduations, you know, people coming down with their parents for that, then you have your honeymoons and your anniversaries, and everybody's coming to celebrate, and they're all overlapping, this people, then their 10 days is ending, well, these people showed up about 3 days, before, you know what I mean, so all they right. all met, and like, it just keeps going, so there's never like a lull at all, every night somebody's there to like, celebrate the, you know, the greatest thing ever or something, you know, and so... You're like, all right, here we go again. Yeah. You know? So it's a lot of fun. But you learn. You just learn how to entertain and interact with people. And, you know, if I get a request for something that I don't know, which I get... Because we walk in and it seems to have the perception that we know everything. People are always like, man, you guys know everything. It's like, well, it seems like that. But if you ask for something that we don't know, there's a chance that it's probably not... There's a reason we don't know it. It's not good for the room. You know, it's, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I've told the story before. Once I went to a... Something, went to a bar and somebody came up with a request for, like, something, like, really, it was like, Tuesday's Gone or something like that from Skynyrd, and, uh-huh. like, and it was, like, and then, like, they said something like, yeah, it was his dad's favorite song and his dad just passed away or something, like, it's like, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's, like, not, I don't know, if I was out of the bar, I don't know if I want to hear the song that's going to make me cry.
Right.
So, like, you know, that... So yeah, sometimes you got to read the room and right. you know that even though it's a great song, it's not going to exactly be well placed right here. And
totally. Well, I've even had somebody write a note on the request, you know, and I get, you know, and again, you know, you don't know what somebody's going through, but it's something like that. You know, my dad yeah. passed away last year, and this song really meant to, you know. And you're like, okay, I really appreciate that, yeah. but it's, you know, like, but we're all, it's Saturday night, and everybody's, like, trying to forget about all the sad stuff right now, and sure. just having a good time, so.
Definitely.
Well, that's what I like about my dueling gig, is you get, I tell people 21 to 81, and they, 21-year-old can ask for what they like, 81-year-old can ask for what they like, and everybody in between, and we're going to play it, so everybody's happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but I like getting out of that and playing with the bands and stuff, because then I'm not taking requests. We have a set, sure. you know, set list, and, I'm not always singing and everything. It's like when I had the Voodoo Players in the beginning, I told Sean, I go, have me sing, don't have me sing, I don't care, I sing, I mean, because it's doing piano gig, I sing lead on every other song, and then when my partner's singing a song, I'm singing harmony half the time and stuff yeah. like that, so I'm singing 50, 60 songs every single night that I do this gig, you know,
right.
so... I'm seeing a little more now. It's just funny. We get people yelling, you know, let Spanky sing. so
where I was speaking of that, where did that start with the Spank side, Dank side?
Oh, Spank side, Dank side? You know, I don't know who posted that first. if he listens to this podcast, I guarantee he'll comment. Because somebody posted that, and it, I don't know where that came from one day, and it's just kind of... And then Otter got a shirt made. He was like, oh, I was in New City hanging out. I had an hour to kill, and I saw this. And I was like... And he went in and got Spankside, Dankside. Yeah. I'm like, what? I'm like, I need to just get like 20 of them made. I'm telling you, if I brought them down to the Oyster Bar, everybody, even if they were, if I could get them for like $10 or something, everybody would be like, dude, I'll take one,
right.
you know? Be hilarious. So, sure. yeah, I'm trying to keep running with that, you know? Everybody thinks that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it's funny how those things stick. I don't know. Even with the nickname you're in and stuff, you know.
Spanky.
Yeah.
yeah.
You never know what.
Well, there's a sign. I shouldn't be saying this. Brett's going to be watching now. There's a sign. Just, I wonder if they've changed it because it's winter now. But there's a thing right by where I sit all the time on stage right there against the wall. It's like a pelican or something. It says, let's just chill in. Yes, it's just chilling, I think, on there. And I actually want to make a sign that you attached. I took a picture of it. I thought about trying to get the same look of it and everything. I want to make it, attached it to the bottom when I'm playing. And I thought about leaving that drum there. Just chilling. I was going to add with Spanky. I mean, just something like that. And I was just going to put it up and see if anybody noticed. Be like, has that always been there?
Right.
Like, where'd that come from? If it looked like it was part of the sign, people were like, I don't know.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, Brett said that one day. He's like, yeah, we got to get a Spank side, Dank side, you know, sign up there. I'm like, yes, we do. And when bands come in, you like, tell them, oh, you're on Spank side, Dank side. I'm like, that'd be awesome. It's so yeah. funny.
I love that place. Man. Oyster Bar is the best.
Yeah, great times at Oyster Bar.
Always.
Again, Wednesday night's Sean Cannon Voodoo Players. Yep. Come out and see Spanky with the Voodoo Players. December 14th, Paul Simon night, Broadway Oyster Bar. And again, mark your calendar, January 7th, the live juke joint in Maplewood for Spanky's birthday, Mom's Kitchen, the Provels, and Dueling Pianos.
Yes.
So, yeah. And we're going to throw some tunes on, man. We'll play some songs, and you can get a little taste of some of the music if you haven't heard it yet. And,
absolutely.
And again, that first Provels record's currently available. Get out and grab a copy of that. And,
yes, please do. Enjoy. And, get out there and shake your booty to it.
Yeah, hold you over till some new songs coming soon.
Very soon, yeah, absolutely. Well, in fact, if you come out January 7th, we'll play those new songs live and stuff and get a good feel for them. So.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out.
It's
a lot
of
fun.
I appreciate it. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you, man.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spanks McGee. Throughout the night, when there's no direct light, the thin veil of clouds keeps the stars out of sight. I can smell the colors outside on my lawn, the moist green organic that my feet tread upon, and the black oleander surrounded by blues. It's overwhelmed by olfactory hues. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce my good friend, my bass buddy, Barcelona Bill.
Spankside, dankside.
Spankside, dankside, y'all.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.